Well, a good Monday afternoon, Saskatchewan. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone, about an hour and a half away from tip-off in downtown New York City. The Knicks and the Spurs. The Knicks up 2-0 on the Spurs. It's only happened twice where the road team won the first two games of an NBA final. Both times that team went on to win the NBA championship. Of course, the Spurs would love to get right back in this series.
This one's not over yet.
No, it's not. You never know. If Wemby wakes up tonight and Karl-Anthony Towns can't defend him as well, Spurs should win this one. Should be an interesting night in New York. But right now, it's time for Belton Johnson.
Howdy, toddy, gosh, your body, who the hell are we? Hey, flim, flam, bim, bam, oh, miss, by day.
He's our Grillmaster Grey Cup champion.
Smack! That's what happened.
Here's Belton Johnson.
1, 2, 3, let's eat!
Yes, our game day analyst Belton Johnson every Monday afternoon getting set for the Riders and the BC Lions this coming Saturday. It's about damn time. Hey, Belton, this has been a long wait for the Riders to get going in 2026.
What would a CFL scheduler makers thinking, man? Come on, already. It should have happened.
It should happen. It should happen, absolutely.
Yeah.
But what do you think will happen? As we get closer to this game, the Lions coming in with revenge on their minds. By the way, their Arrows Up podcast came out. It's like an hour episode, yeah. Week one. And it starts from where it ended last year with that disappointment of losing in Saskatchewan in the West Final. Belton, what do you expect to see from Nathan Rourke and company as they pay a visit to Mosaic Stadium?
Honestly, think that offense is going to come out humming. You know, Rourke, he's had all offseason to, you know, kind of stew and think about things. And I think they're going to come prepared in here with that offense. And don't forget, fellas, they've added a couple key pieces on defense, too, I think, that's going to, you know, I think they're going to have a pretty decent defense as well. And, you know, again, the Riders, I know they're ready to go. They're ready to play. But, you know, sometimes you got to get smacked in the face before you wake the giant up, too.
Riders, so we got a prediction and a thought about what's going to happen on Saturday when we raise the banner here for our Grey Cup champions, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders from last year. Now, have you had a chance to sit down and think about what the record is going to be this year for the Riders, or are we saving that for maybe pregame on Saturday on the Green Zone?
I've thought about the record because I know we have a bet.
Darren and Rosh Percy wants to bet us again. 13-5, he says, for the
Stakes
Rough Riders.
Stakes on the line again, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've definitely thought about it, Locke. I think I got my magic number in play here.
Okay. All right. You want to save it for Saturday? We can do that.
It's up to Jamie.
No, give it to me now. What is it?
The Riders, my prediction, they'll get at least 11 wins.
So 11-7 is where Belton Johnson's going.
Where does that put them? Is that like
that would be second then, right? Place.
Yeah, I got them winning, getting second place for sure.
And BC first?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the similar boat. If I always do three win windows. I always do three win windows now. Instead of just pegging one and I move it at the scale, I'm at 10, 11, 12 in there. That's okay, yeah. I can't get to the 13, 14 wins. The West looks, especially watching Calgary and Winnipeg and Edmonton this weekend, I went, oh man, this.
They've gotten better, Jay.
Getting to 10 and 11 wins will be a real good seat. I could see a lot of 9-9s up there in the CFL this year, Belton.
Agreed. Watching some of those games this weekend, and, teams have gotten better. And, you know, it didn't look like any games were real lacking to me either, right? You know, usually see offenses come out sputtering slow and everything. No, these guys, they came ready this year, it looks like. And, again, you know, teams have gotten better, right? The Riders, they didn't get worse, but they lost a lot of key players, I'll put it that way. You know, they did lose a lot.
Belton, I'm curious, and I know you spent a lot of your career playing, so you wouldn't have been partaking in the tailgating, but you've been retired for a bit, so you probably got an idea of where you would you know, direct people. What would be your number one tip for tailgaters as we launch into a new era of watching football in Saskatchewan this Saturday?
And look, for me, is, you know, I just think about Ole Miss and the tailgating at the Grove, right? And, you know, the one thing I tell fans would be to enjoy it. You know, sharing of the foods, the drinks and things of that nature, right? Playing cornhole, enjoy that whole moment, enjoy the kids running around in the park area there. And, you know, I'm not sure how to, if anybody have TVs or things out, but, you know, that's one thing with the tents and things up. When I was at Ole Miss, I enjoyed all of that, but especially the food. Enjoy the heck out of that, man.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. This is new territory for Rider fans to partake. And, Belton, you've seen it. You've been, as you said, the Grove at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And you talk about, like, you got to get pre-cooking, right? You can't, or do you barbecue right on the spot? What do you think?
Yeah, when's a good time for me to show up?
Locker says if I show up right at noon, because we're on the air at 3, I'm thinking
you're
maybe
not gonna get fat.
Walk through. He thinks it would be too early.
It's too early.
Although I'm not sure how many people are cooking gluten-free. But, hey, a steak's gluten-free with no spices on it, so go nuts.
So, and fellas, I think, you know, again, depending on when the game, and I can't remember, Jamie Luck, what time, you know, gates open or what.
It's 5 hours before the game, so noon is when cars can start parking.
So be there at noon. That's what I would say, guys. And again, you know, if you're doing ribs or something, right, it takes about 5 to 6 hours, depending on the method you use, cooking, ribs there and everything, right? We know burgers are pretty easy. You know, if you got the patties made there and everything, just slap them on the grill.
There we go.
Get the buns out. What else, Jamie? What else we want? Do we want fried chicken? Did anybody bring the fryer?
Oh, I bet you'll see a couple of guys with the fryers.
Absolutely. Deep frying out there?
Deep fry a whole chicken. Yeah.
Oh, and deep fry anything. Just get the batter out there ready to go.
Way we go. And, let her rip.
Mars bars, whatever. Give it a shot.
And I agree. Britton's brought this up the other day when we were talking about the tailgating. He's like, I hope we start seeing some more traditional watermelon helmets in the crowd, right? You're going to have time. You're sitting there. You can't play cornhole for 5 hours. Somebody is going to be in charge of the cooking, and probably you're not going to, you know. So there's going to be some idle hands. You're going to get a knife, get some watermelons going, and let's do this right.
I'm with you. Let's do it right, man. And hopefully the fans are listening into the Green Zone, which I know they will. With those tips coming too. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, make sure the radio's on about an hour before kickoff. That's when Belton Johnson gives you his tailgating tip, and you can try it next week, which we always get a hint for what's coming. What's the hint this week, Belton, for the tailgating tip with Sherwood Co-op?
Jamie, you're going to be so – man, I'm about 6-7 weeks ahead right now, right? So the tip this week is pineapple.
Pineapple.
Oh,
right side up, I hope.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Looks like SpongeBob's house under the sea there. So,
pineapple. See, I always try to guess, and I am completely stumped right now.
That's a glaze.
I can't wait to try this recipe, and, you know, I will.
Is it like a sweet and sour thing?
No, I bet you it's sweet and spicy.
I like those. Locke is he's on the right track.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, pineapple and habanero. That's my guess.
You're close, Locke. You're real close.
Okay. All right.
Well, if you make it too spicy, that means extra for us because Britton won't touch it. So that's,
yeah.
We'll,
light it up.
We'll cut it down a little bit.
Don't do that. No, no, you do you.
Britton got to partake too, man.
All right, Belton. So you got
an
11-7 record for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. You have BC finishing first in the West. Grey Cup prediction, Belton. What do you got?
For me, Grey Cup prediction, I got the BC Lions playing the Alouettes. Did you see that game?
It was a good game.
I thought it was over for Montreal, and then pick six. Davis Alexander to Tyson Philpott. Might be the catch of the year already. And
what a catch.
By the way, another highlight from week one, Justin Rankin of the Elks is going to be a problem this year.
Yeah, he took off for a long run.
102 yards rushing, 94 yards receiving.
And you predicted 1,000.
I thought he should be in the top 10 of the CFL top 50. I had him in my top 10.
Yeah,
I think I had him 7.
Well, when I saw his receiving, when I saw his rushing and receiving yards, I was like, Jamie was on to something, because you were saying that last week that you had 1,000.
He's dangerous. Yeah. And Cody Fajardo just has to hand
Cody
him the
likes
ball
him.
Or just flip it over to him, and he makes the magic happen over there in Edmonton. It's going to be a great year. I can't wait for Saturday. Can't wait for Belton Johnson's tailgating tip. Belton, we'll see you on Saturday afternoon.
Hey, we'll see you then, Jamie.
That is Belton Johnson, our game day analyst here on the Green Zone. And again, his tailgating tip, heard every pregame show. Check out the game day podcasts wherever you find your podcast if you miss one. And then maybe try it the next Rider home game for Belton Johnson's tailgate.
There you go.
He's doing like new recipes. He's determined
he's digging in
to do new recipes almost every week. Last week, the bomb things he had. Oh, my goodness.
What was that again?
Was it the bacon bombs last week, or was that the week before?
No.
Now I can't remember.
Yeah, I was just going to say it was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, it was fantastic stuff. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. More coming up, including a chat with Drew Remenda on the report out of Edmonton. Is Mike Babcock about to be the head coach of the Oilers? Oiler fans, what do you think?
Good Lord.
You have 5 minutes over the commercial break to text us what you think. 1-877-332-8255. Let me just say this. Mike Babcock could be the next head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. Are you yay or nay? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you. Okay, let's get to it really here. Corey. Need I say more on potentially hiring a Mike Babcock? Corey said he's texted before the show started. He's against Mike Babcock being the next head coach.
There's not a lot of people that are on the Babcock side.
Mike and Estevan believes Babcock is overrated. Interesting. One of the biggest winning percentages in NHL history. Babs in the oil will not mix. Somebody just texted Mike Babcock all the way. But Toronto would have seen the cup a lot earlier if they didn't cry about his coaching tactics. Go Oilers! So that's a Mike in Saskatoon.
Positive, yeah. Okay.
So for an organization that loves giving second chances, I'm shocked they're giving Mike Babcock his third. All right.
I'm at a point where, you know what? Try it. You know?
What do you got to lose?
What have you got to lose? You haven't been able to get over the hump, right? You got close. You got to the dance. You got two of the best players in hockey right now. I don't know. Maybe this will work. I'd be very curious. They went to McDavid. They went to Leon. I bet you both of them. There's reports now. Elliot Friedman came out earlier saying that the team is behind us, right? And they didn't talk to all of them.
No, but the core leadership group apparently said, let's
go.
Hey, if you think that's the right thing, let's do it.
Oh, Babcock and Coffey.
Well, Coffey's not coaching that team anymore. He didn't want to coach in the first place. The only time they'll have Paul Coffey there is when Daryl Cates needs his spy in the room. That's when
that's interesting.
That's when you know things are going south in Edmonton. Daryl Cates calls his buddy Paul and says, I need you in the locker room to do some spying for me. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone, about an hour away from tip-off at Madison Square Garden. And, a little bit of a lineup to get in tonight because Donald Trump showed up.
Oh, so
we might get it. We might get into this with Champs and Chumps in the next 15 minutes or so.
It's just not right.
Like, they shut down the watch party for tonight's game.
It's just wrong on so many levels. And this isn't even a political statement. It's sports. Stop messing with sports.
Yeah. So tip off 6:30. It's desperation time for the Spurs. No NBA team has come back from 3-0 down in a series. So we'll be watching tonight for the Knicks to maybe get one hand on that trophy.
I'd like to see the Spurs make a series out of this.
I would love it. The series has been great. The NHL playoffs have been good. The finals have been great as well with the Carolina Hurricanes and the Las Vegas Golden Knights. But right now, it is our NHL analyst, Drew Romanda, who's going to touch on the story of the day. We've been talking about it since the start of the show. Mike Babcock as the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. Drew weighed in.
Well, I think when you talk about, first thing that you were 100% right on was the fact of when you're talking about a detailed guy. And I think I told you this, Jamie, that when I was going back to the Sharks and when Mike was coaching here at the University of Saskatchewan, when he came back before he went to Columbus, I've known Mike since we were teenagers. So I called him and said, hey, are you watching video? Are you doing anything like that? And he went, as a matter of fact, we are. We're at the rink. You want to come down? We're going to watch it this time. So I started going in every day to watch video with him. Now, I worked with Mike before at Hockey Canada, and I had watched video and, of course, done video work for the San Jose Sharks, for Daryl Sutter when he was coaching. I watched it with Ron Wilson when he came in, when Todd McClellan came in. I watched video with all these coaches. And I sat with some of the best coaches in the world. Third day I came home, I walked home from the university after watching with Mike and Michael. And I said, and my son Donovan said, how was that? And I said, Donald, I've been lying to people for 30 years that I know anything about the game of hockey. And Donovan started to laugh. He said, levels to this thing? I said, levels to this thing. I've never seen a guy as detailed as you said and smart about breaking down a hockey game like him. It's incredible. On the other thing you guys are right on is that, yes, he is demanding. And yes, he is not the most popular coach that anybody's ever played for. But remember when we had Pete DeBoer on, and I asked Pete DeBoer a question back in the Green Zone days when I said to him, how come guys keep having career years with you? And he started to laugh and said, well, there's a lot of guys out there who've lost my number as well. There are guys who aren't going to like you. And Mike is demanding, and Mike has made mistakes, without a doubt. And Mike does have a solid ego. You better have a solid ego.
You can't do that job without an ego.
Exactly.
You can't
do anything well without an ego. Ego gets a bad rap. But you're right. And Mike talked about it on the show with us when he came back to that Columbus job and talked about his kids talking to him and saying, and tell me, guys, you haven't heard this before in your life. It's not what you're saying. It's how you're saying it. And I've had that.
I think I have that T-shirt. My wife bought that.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So Mike talked about that. And the phone thing, and Jamie, we talked about this, and I've told you this before. Mike and I exchange pictures all the time. He wants to look and see what your family's doing. He wants to get to know what all about your family. Now, you're right, Locker, when you were talking about the fact of, but from a coach-player perspective, it does have a little bit of a different, it does have a different feel to it because he is the coach of the team. So it could have been, it was awkward for some people, and it wasn't handled very, very well. But I can tell you from knowing Mike that there wasn't anything malicious there. He just wants to get to know the players.
Yeah. So
I was just going to say, the Edmonton Oilers could do a hell of a lot worse than hire Mike Babcock.
Yeah, I am not against this. I am not against. So here's my question for you, right? Do you, because I have known people that have had egos that sort of eliminate a self-awareness sort of bone, right?
And are you talking about me?
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people that I met in the past that get to a certain position in life and they just think they have all the answers. And regardless of the mistakes they make or whatever chaos they leave behind them, whatever buildings they burn up once they leave or bridges, They just don't care. They just continue to plod on. I'm curious, is Mike Babcock that guy? Because if he is, then regardless of what age you are, because I, like, Jamie and I were discussing this earlier. I was a program director at 30, and I was a nightmare. Like, there's no reason why anybody should have let me be in charge of human beings. Like, it was not a good idea. And I realized that shortly after I got let go, right? But I'm just, now I think I could probably do it with less chaos.
Yes.
So I'm curious if Mike is that guy.
Well, I think he is, Locker, and for the reason, and listen, I will put it out there 100% that I am very biased when it comes to Mike Babcock. I like Mike a lot. I've known Mike for a lot of years. We've had a good relationship over all these years. I have a ton of respect for the man, and he's a friend. But when I look at Mike Babcock, when he took over that Columbus job, we had him on the program, and we talked to him about the issues that had come up before. And he did do a lot of introspection. He talked to his kids, and his kids are all very bright. In fact, Michael just got the head coach job in the OHL with...
I said it earlier. Why did I slip off my...
Burlington?
I'm gapping.
Michael, we just said it out loud.
I said it out loud like
What's
an
wrong
hour
with
ago.
This?
Yeah, Michael. Was
I haven't even had a drink yet.
In the AHL last year as assistant coach, he's another brilliant young man. But he also tells his father like this. He tells his dad what he thinks, and so do his daughters. One of his daughters is involved in mental health as well. And so
that's interesting.
They're very very smart group of people. Mike's dad was an engineer. Mike was going to be an engineer. He's very smart, and he is introspective. But he's also a guy that has a bit of a fact of, this has worked before. I've got 700. Now, he's never said this to me, but he's got 700 wins in the National Hockey League. He's got 2 gold medals. He's got a Four Nations Cup or a World Cup of Hockey. He has got a CIS championship. He's got a world championship. The guy knows how to coach. Period. End of discussion. Are you going to put him on your Christmas card list if you're one of his players who's not doing what he thinks you're doing? You should be doing? Probably not. But you know what, Locker, you were saying it, that maybe they need a little bit more of a kick in the pants type of a guy. Yeah. But he's not that guy. He's not like, it's not like he goes into locker rooms ranting and raving. He's just very, very demanding, and some of his ways in the past have rubbed players the wrong way. And you're right, Jamie, 1,499 games for Mike Modano. There's no real excuse for that. Sometimes that, and I think Mike's smart enough to know those power plays that he was doing before aren't going to work now, especially if you've got McDavid and Draisaitl on your team.
Drew Remenda is our NHL analyst here on the Green Zone. That Mike Babcock story just broke today. We have about 2 minutes to talk about a wild Game 3. let's just focus on the goalie. Should it be Freddie Anderson, or should they put the kid Bussy in there?
I'd put Bussy back in.
Yes.
I don't think Freddie's looked great in this. Like, if you look at this, he let in 5 goals in the first game. Now his team was very good. And he's let in now, he let in, what was it, 4 goals in Game 3. I don't think he's
Vegas has his number.
Well, you might be, because there's those goalies out there where the other team doesn't mind playing against you. You know, there's teams you don't mind playing against. There's certain teams that guys just light them up. But that game was really interesting. John Tortorella said that his team needs to do a better job of momentum, of handling the momentum, basically managing the game. I was like you, Jamie. They score the goal. And you go, oh, good. At least they scored the goal. Good for them. And then, wait a second. And then again, and 4 goals, there were 3 goals in 39 seconds. You go, holy my goodness. The games, you know, the 2 disputed goals came back. The one that didn't come back. It was such a weird game, because in the first period, I zoned out. There was 13 minutes plus where Carolina had 2 shots, and there was 15 minutes plus where Vegas had no shots in the first period. And you're thinking, oh, okay, here we go. And then all of a sudden, Mitch Marner does what Mitch Marner does, and things go a little bit crazy. And as you guys said, those games kind of always end on a goofy goal. And certainly that was about as goofy as it came. That shot was so wide, it wasn't even close. And Martinuk I originally thought Martinuk put it in, but it just bounced off the end boards.
That's our NHL analyst, Drew Remenda, who, by the way, agrees with you. They should go with Bussy.
Yeah. He just looked more confident back there.
I was looking at the numbers. Bussy this year was unbelievable. They split the net with Freddie Anderson, and I know Freddie took the net off the hop and won a bunch of straight games, so there's no need to replace him. But Bussy's numbers are actually better than Freddie Anderson's in the regular season.
I thought he was the number one.
So
I had a misconception that he was. So
they went with the vet to start the playoffs, and there's no reason to pull him now, but maybe now is the time to pull Freddie Anderson and put Bussy in. For game four, we'll find out what they do tomorrow. No Freddie Anderson at practice for the Carolina Hurricanes today. They said it was a maintenance day at their practice, but of course game three goes tomorrow. Coming up next, Champs and Chumps on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners. Big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Champs and Chumps here on the Green Zone. Pretty easy day for Champs and Chumps, I will say. Didn't have a lot of debate about this one. We start off with our Chump today.
Basically, you can expect TSA-style screenings, and fans attending the game are encouraged to arrive at least 2 hours before the game even starts.
Good Lord.
Again, there will be no outdoor watch party here at MSG because President Trump is attending this game tonight, so there will be extra security measures, and a spokesperson with the NYPD said this decision was made in coordination with the Secret Service.
So Trump wants to go to a basketball game and ruins the fun for everybody else.
Here's the thing. I will say this out loud. This is not me picking a side, right? Because that doesn't help anybody. Politicians, no one likes you. No one trusts you. No one wants you at the game. No one's sitting there going, oh, yeah, I don't mind taking an extra 2-3 hours to get into the game because I really want Donald Trump to watch. No, this is not a good move for any politician. What did I do when Mark Carney went to the Grey Cup?
I lost
my mind.
Yeah, you're like, because everything outside was, people were confused on where they could enter because they had to shut down a whole entrance area
for
them. It's Grey
Cup. Yeah. And what did he do? He came in, he flipped a coin, he got in his black SUV, and he bolted. He didn't even stay and watch the game. And it tied up everybody getting into that game by probably an hour. Hour, if not more. Stay home. If you're a politician, stay home, watch it on your big screen TV.
Yeah, the security detail.
And tweet about it.
For these major events. Like, what? It's the worst thing you can do. There's your chump. Our champ is someone we didn't expect to see play in game number 3. Davidson, Saskatchewan's Braden McNabb with a reconstructed nose, fresh stitches, a full cage.
Did you get a close look at him?
Yeah. He had some plastic surgery done in the middle of his face to reconstruct that.
Good for him.
And he played. And he played the second most minutes, so almost 36 in double overtime, and he got 2 more assists. So in the 2 games Braden McNabb has played, he has 5 assists in those games in the Stanley Cup Final. 9 points overall in the playoffs, 5 of them in the 2 games he's played in full in this Stanley Cup Final.
That was an easy champ.
Oh, monster performance by Braden McNabb. There's your champs and your chumps.